You might hear that my voice is a little nasally. I do not have COVID. I want to put that to rest right now. I don't know how many years it will be from now that I have to keep telling you that, but keep testing and it's negative. Anyway, just a cold that I'm getting over, but I feel great. Just sound a little nasally. Anyway, I'm excited about celebrating Christmas Eve here with you. 4 o'clock and 5:30 are two service times. The 4 o'clock service will have children's ministry all the way up to fifth grade. The 5:30 service will have children's ministry up to 3 years of age. Both of them will have candlelight carols, and I'll be speaking and looking forward to that. Then that Sunday, a week from today, we will not be gathering in person. We will have an online experience, a worship experience, if you'd like to join us online that day. But get your Bibles and turn with me right now to the book of Luke, the first chapter, and would love for you to follow along as we go verse by verse through the Christmas story this season. And as you're turning there, finding that, I also want to give you an opportunity to give financially to God. We always want to give you that option at Promised Land. We've been doing that for many years, and people have found Promised Land to be a safe place and a fertile place to sow into financially, and God has blessed us so much. So thank you for generously giving to Promised Land, giving to God through Promised Land, I should say, and it makes a difference, makes a huge difference. In fact, we really won't know the numbers until the end of this month, but it looks like 2021 is going to be the biggest year we've ever had financially. So thank you so much for doing that. And a big part of that is last week we had our Christmas offering, special Christmas offering. And so if you weren't able to be here last week, we invite you to jump in on that this week. It's called Built to Last. So if you're giving online, those of you online can join us giving right now by giving online. If you're in the house and you want to give online, or if you want to use the envelope in the seat back in front of you, you can just put Built to Last on that envelope, or you can put Built to Last on your giving online, and both of those will go towards our next generation, and it's exciting what God's doing here. So if you have any questions about any of that, please hit me up. I would love to answer any questions. So y'all ready? Luke chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 39. And just to give you a little context, because this jumps right into the story, last week we looked at the moment where the angel visited Mary and told Mary that she was favored and that she was going to have a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this son was going to be the Savior of the world. Big deal, right? That's a big deal when that happens, when that announcement comes. And Pastor Emilio did a phenomenal job last week teaching us on that topic, and really the message of when God says something to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if he calls you something, that means that's what you are. So if he called Mary favored, that means Mary's instantly favored, because whatever God says comes to pass. Even if it didn't exist before, we know that God speaks a word in creation. Let there be light. And what happens? There's light. And that's what happened with Mary. She's just this innocent little, most believed teenage girl. And God says, you're favored. So that means Mary's favored. This is where we pick the story up today, Luke 1:39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. Now, if you read earlier in this chapter, you'll read all the story of John the Baptist being born right at the same time as Jesus. His dad was named Zechariah. His mom was Elizabeth. So this is where Mary goes, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pregnant with this baby who would become John the Baptist. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's so many beautiful things about that text right there. I remember when my wife was pregnant three times, and each one of those times she'd call me, come here quick. And I would run over there and put my hand on her womb, whatever you call it, her stomach or whatever. And it was like this lump that would move. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Moms, it's so exciting. Your baby's moving, or maybe it's hiccups. The womb like jumping like that, it's hiccups. And that's because the baby's moving around or doing whatever, trying to get comfortable. But what happens here in this story is that the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb jumped because another baby in the womb came into the room. And that's just amazing that the presence of Jesus made that happen. And I love the end of that. It says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit all in this one verse, this one sentence, and it's a beautiful picture of God, that God is showing up in this practical, very real life situation. And Elizabeth is the first person that I know of in the New Testament that says that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. We know in Acts 2, later on, everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. But here, Elizabeth was filled. All right, let's go to verse 42. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. And that last sentence is so beautiful. I mean, I love all these sentences. I mean, they're great, but you're blessed because you believed what God said. And I also love there that the Bible tells us that when there's something in the womb, it's a baby and it's a person and it has value and it is alive and it matters. And my baby's jumping and your baby's jumping and yeah, okay, that's important. You're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. As I mentioned earlier, God said Mary was favored. And really last week, the whole message was about that idea of hearing that God says something about you and then wrapping your head around that idea, such a big idea, wrapping your head around that and accepting that God said that and trying to just take next steps. You're blessed, you're favored, you're healed, you're safe, you're secure, you're free. And there's all different things that we hear from the scripture. And then after we accept that word from God, there's often a gap between the time that word is prophesied over us and then the time when it is fully fulfilled. There's a gap. And Mary experiences this gap, this pregnant pause. I mean, pregnancy is the ultimate gap, right? Between you're gonna have a baby and then here's the baby. Now with Mary, her miracle was a baby, but it wasn't just that he would be born. The true prophetic message to Mary is that your baby's going to be the Messiah. So I want you to think about how long it was between the time that God said to Mary, your baby's going to be the Messiah, and then the time that Jesus actually stepped into that role of being Messiah. It was 30 plus years from the time that Mary was prophesied that till the days that it came to pass. And that's a lot of years, and that's a lot of months, and that's a lot of weeks, and a lot of days, and a lot of hours that she was wrestling with this. Now we see Jesus when he was 12 years of age in the temple. We see a glimpse of Jesus blowing the minds of the Pharisees and the Bible teachers, the scholars in the temple when he's 12 years old. Wow, that's amazing. But then we don't really hear anything about Jesus for many years until he's 30 years old. And that's when he comes on the scene publicly and begins to teach. It's when he's baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And he goes into public ministry, and Mary is beginning to really grasp that God is doing what he said he would do. Now, when we read scripture, we see prophetic things spoken over us. And the reason why is because God speaks them over Abraham, and he tells Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Your kids are going to be blessed. You're going to be the head, not the tail. You're going to be blessed when you come and when you go. And you're going to be prosperous, and you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be leaders, and you're going to govern, and you're going to be free. You're going to be secure. These are all very, very big things that are prophesied over Abraham. But when you and I come into relationship with Jesus, we then become the beneficiary, or we inherit the blessings that God gave to Abraham, because we become part of the family, all right? So that's so important. It's a big deal. Because I'm saying this right now because I want this to apply to us, and I'm pretty sure that there's, if we were to take a consensus here, like talk to everybody, most of you would say, I've never been visited by an angel. I've never had a dream like that. That's been such a profound thing. Some of us have. I think it's tough because I think that probably the reason why many of us haven't heard a prophetic word like that is because people in the church aren't operating in the gifts of the Spirit that God has put in our hearts. That's a whole nother message, a whole nother series. But what I want to establish here today is that God is still speaking to us, and God is still leading us into some big things. You may not have had an angel speak to you. You may not have ever had a prophetic dream. But that doesn't mean that God's not leading you into something in your life of great purpose. So sometimes we will hear those things from other people. Maybe sometimes God will speak to some things to us in prayer. Many times we will hear prophetic things as we're reading scripture. So I want to encourage you all in 2022 to get the Bible out and read it. It matters. It's a big deal. It can really speak to us and speak to you in your life. So I want to encourage you, God is still speaking. And what will happen to us a lot of times is we'll feel a drawing. We'll feel like an inkling of something. And we're like, what is this? Why do I feel so passionate about this certain thing? Why am I good at this? Why does God keep putting these people in front of me and keeps drawing me closer, drawing me to these things? And what it is it's God leading you on a path to do something great for him. And when we tune into that and we pray, we fast, we seek God, he then begins to make it more clear for us, hey, I'm calling you. But even when we come to terms with that and we see that God's calling us, or maybe it is one of these more spiritual things, like you're going to be free and you're not going to be bound by the approval addiction of your peers, or you're not going to be bound anymore by the abuseful thoughts of your past. You're not going to be bound by substance or by drugs or whatever that could bind us. But there's a gap between the time that we sense that that's what God wants for us and the time that it's actually fulfilled. A little deeper theological thought is that there's a gap between the time Jesus rose from the dead and the time that he's coming back. And that it's all going to be fulfilled completely and totally, the renewal of the world. So the incredible resurrection of Jesus, that's awesome. And then there's going to be a day where there's no more tears and no more suffering and no more heartache and all that. But what are we doing? Where are we right now? We're in a gap in between the resurrection and the renewal. So our life is placed in his, in that gap, that big gap, but our life is a microcosm of that gap as well. My wife, Erica, she was telling me the other day about a gap in her life when she fell in love with me first. And I mean, I thought she was pretty and I liked dating her and all that, but she was ready to get married. She was waiting on me to propose and I wasn't proposing. And she really felt like we were supposed to get married. She's like, why can't you see this? Like, what's wrong with you? You know? And so she literally prayed, Lord, take this guy out of my life. Make me not like him anymore. Make him go somewhere else or do something else. Take this away from me. God never did that. And she really sensed that we were supposed to be together. And I was on a different plane, on a different level of thought and all that. And she was in the gap between what she thought that God was going to do in her life in marriage. And when on January 9th, 1999, we did. We got married. And so that was a gap that she had to wrestle with. How do I deal with this? How do I date this guy? Do I not date this guy? You know, do I, there's all these fleshly things that come into play when we're in the gap. And I think we can learn a lot from Mary as she's in the gap between this prophetic message. I want to talk about that. There's in England, I don't know how many of y'all have been to London before, but in London, there's this big thing that the city of London has done in order to make sure that people mind the gap. There's a gap at the subway when you're standing at the platform of the subway, and then here's the subway car. There's a space between the platform and the car, and it's a gap. And so they, I'm sure in the past, have had people trip, fall down, break an arm, break a leg, fall through the gap. I'm not sure. But everywhere in the subway, there's a sign. We have a picture here I want to show you. This is the platform. They have it in big, bold letters. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. There's signs on the wall. You've seen the very famous blue circle with the red stripe through the middle of the London subway. Mind the gap. We want to make sure that you step over the gap. Here you are. Here's where you want to go. There's a gap in the middle. Make sure you mind the gap. I feel like this is so important in our spiritual life too, because if we're not cognizant of the gap or aware of the gap, we can get lost in the gap. Sometimes the gap's a day. Maybe that's what it looks like up on there. The gap may be weeks. It may be months. It may be so far down the road. And what can happen is the enemy can come in and begin to say, no, you really didn't hear from God. Or no, look at all these other things that are happening in your life right now. And as a believer, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, there's parents that are experiencing a gap between where you know what God wants for your kids and where your kids are right now. And so there's a space between that. And we're standing on the promise and believing a promise that God has for us, our family, ourself, our ministry, whatever it may be. How do we handle that space? Well, Mary teaches us as she worships in the gap. This next bit of scriptures has been called the Magnificat. It's a song that Mary sang that is our answer to what we do in the gap. We worship while we wait. If we can worship while we wait, we'll be in the right position to mind the gap and know where and how we're to go to our next place. So Mary does this as she is waiting for this amazing thing to happen. She worships while she waits. Now you may say, wait a minute, worship, come on. You're supposed to worship after something happens. Like, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for what you've done. I praise you for what you've done. And I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And absolutely, you can do that. And that's a great thing to do. Write down what God's done for you. Journal it. Think about it. Go back and worship God because of what he's done. But Mary, and we're going to read through her prayer right here, but Mary does something so important. She worships God before he fulfills fully what he told her that he would do. And so she gets in the right frame of mind that God is faithful. I can trust God. God is to be trusted. And as a result, I am going to celebrate what God is going to do before God does it. Think about that. Lord, you've said you're going to do it. You haven't fulfilled it yet. I'm waiting here, but I trust you. I know you're going to do it. So I'm going to choose right now to worship you and thank you for what you're going to do before you ever do it. I'm telling you, if you can learn this principle, you're going to make it through the gap. And it's so powerful. Let's look what she actually says. Luke 1:46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Powerful truth here. Homework if you want to dig in deeper, but look at the difference here between the soul and the spirit. The soul is praising, the spirit is rejoicing. So all of us are three parts, soul, spirit, and flesh or body. And so right now, Mary is saying, my soul is praising you, my spirit is rejoicing with you. And I know that there was an outward expression of that in the way she lived. She worshiped by the way she lived. She worshiped internally, spiritually, and with her soul. Awesome. Look at verse 48. "For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generation will call me blessed, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me." Her posture is a humble posture. And that's so important as we're minding the gap. What can be possible posture in the middle of the gap is, God, what's wrong with you? Why don't you do this differently? Why don't you hurry up? Man, it's amazing how many times in my life I've thought, man, God, you need some help with this. Let me help you with this. If you would just do this, and I answer this prayer right now and answer this prayer later, and then I got this all figured out. God doesn't do it that way. But Mary teaches us, I am humble and I am lowly before you. You, God, know everything. You, God, have all power. You're the mighty one. You're holy, and you've done great things for me. I am a lowly servant girl. This is so important to know the difference. A few weeks ago, I talked to you about the Magi. The Magi pointed us to submit, to be subservient to a master, to Jesus. The Magi bow down. Mary does the same thing. Mary teaches us the same thing. We're going to bow down to our Lord, to our God, to Jesus, because we trust that he is big. We trust that he is holy, even before he has completely fulfilled what he said he was going to do. All right, now watch this. Here's how she ends her prayer with something very important. She takes Old Testament truths and she begins to pray them from her heart and her soul. She makes it her prayer. Again, I want to encourage you, dig into the Bible. Learn what the Bible is telling us about who we are as his kids, about what he's going to do for us in the future, what he's done for his kids in the past. You can learn about the nature of God and the holiness of God and the beauty of God by reading the Bible. And for some of you that have never personally read the Bible yourself, I want to open up a whole new world for you. You don't have to be a pastor to read the Bible or to get your degree or to be ordained or anything like that. Any of us can take the Bible and begin to just let it breathe life into us. Okay, so when you do that and you start learning the nature of God, then you can take that nature of God, that truth of God, and begin to talk to God in relation to your life and who he is. So this is what Mary is doing right here. She's taking the truth of God and she is letting it be expressed in her life. It says in verse 50, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. So right there, she's talking about the power of, if we will humble ourselves before God, we don't have to exalt ourselves. God has proven time after time throughout the Holy Scriptures that he is the one that's going to elevate anyone who needs to be elevated. All we have to do is just humble ourselves before him, all right? And he's the one who delivers on the promise. So he brought princes down from their thrones. He exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. He made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. This mindset that Mary teaches us, and I want to encourage you, take this scripture and read through it this week and turn it into your own prayer and apply it to the things that are happening in your life. Lord, I want to humble myself before you. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had the timeline all figured out. But Lord, it's obvious I don't. But you've been faithful to your kids forever and ever and ever. You're going to keep on being faithful. And so this begins to reshape our mindset around the truth of who God is. And we begin to shape our life around what God is and who God is and what God's doing. And that's a humility that says, Lord, I want you to be the center of my life, and I'm going to trust you in this hard time. I'm going to trust you in the middle of this difficult thing. And I just want to surround myself with you. I want you to be in the middle of what I'm doing, as opposed to other people over here that are going, Lord, but I want you to fix this over here, and I want you to bless this thing over here. And oh yeah, I want a raise over here, and I want a new job. You know, all that like going to God like he's the pharmacist, and I need a prescription for this. I need you to change that, or Santa Claus, right? Instead of that, this is Mary's prayer: is Lord, I am humbling myself to you. God, you have a plan, you have a will, you have a way. And I am submitting myself, I'm humbling myself, and I'm trusting that you are able to do it. That's how we wait. That's how we mind the gap. That is the essence of worship. The essence of worship is surrendering ourselves to him, soul, body, spirit. So we can worship while we work. We can worship while we budget our money. We can express our love and our devotion, our dependence upon God, while we recreate, while we have fun, while we eat, while we gather in a building together on a Sunday. These are all different ways that we lay down what we want and we pick up what God wants. All right, this is how I want us to end on this next verse that seems so simple, but yet it is so profound. Luke 1:56, this kind of concludes this whole scene. It says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. There's two things I want to pull out of that right here. And one is, she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Somebody say 3 months. 3 months is a long time to stay and wait, right? I love when the Bible tells us stuff like this. It's details. I love details, but I love it when the Bible teaches us just normal things happen to people. And there's nothing supernatural that happened in those 3 months. They just were there for 3 months. And I think what happens when we read scripture, you know, we can blast through several chapters of the Bible in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And man, we're seeing things happen just like this. And we'll skip over 56 because there's no big profound truth in it, no big nugget or whatever. But I'm saying that's a huge nugget right there. Nothing happened for 3 months. She's in the gap. She's waiting. The people in the Bible go through the same thing we go through. We have 3 month periods when nothing happens. But here's another big part of this. She was with Elizabeth for 3 months. She wasn't just with anybody for 3 months. She chose to be with somebody that believed what God believed for her. And she sequestered herself away from the haters and the doubters and everybody else that didn't believe what God had said about her, and was, you know, causing rumors to happen and anger to happen towards her and judgment to happen. She stayed with Elizabeth, who was going to keep speaking truth to her, keep pointing her in the right direction towards God, who was also pregnant with possibility, who was also dealing with a promise from God. And so that's so important. And that's why being a part of a local church is so important, because you're around other Elizabeths in your life. And man, there's plenty of haters out there. There's plenty of people spreading negative things and negative ideas and negative thoughts. You gotta find the Elizabeths in your life that are going to say, no, I believe what God said about you. You're blessed because of your belief in what God said about you. And I'm another human being that stands with you. And you can stay here for a couple weeks. You can stay here for a couple months. We can hang out for a long time. We've got to do that. We've got to maybe do an evaluation of the people that we're really investing in, and making sure, are these people in our life that are going to help me mind the gap? Or are they going to take me further away from God? I mean, there's always the need for people in our life that we're helping, and, you know, we're pointing them to Jesus because they're far from Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But who are we yoking up with? You know, who are we plowing the field with? That's a kind of a biblical thing to think about. But, you know, who is it in our life that we're just really making covenants with in life, that we're going in the same direction? Why don't we go to God right now in prayer? Would you join with me? Bow your heads. If there's anybody in the house today, or maybe even watching online, that is far from God, maybe you don't have a relationship with God at all. Never. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ, Mary's baby, was not just a baby. He grew up to be an incredible man, a prophet, a teacher, a miracle worker. And he wasn't just that, but he actually fulfilled the prophecy of God that he became the Messiah of the world, the Savior. And the way he did that was by taking on the sin and the difficulty, basically all the consequences that you and I deserve for the mistakes that we've made. He took those on, and that's why he went to his death. He went to his death on the cross because he was taking the punishment that we deserved. But the good news I have for you today is not just that. He's not just taking your problems away from you. Instead, he's given you new life. Jesus gives you the life that he deserved to live as a perfect human. We can now live with God forever and ever and ever because of the work that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. So how do we tap into that? How do we get into that family of Abraham that I talked about? You don't have to go to a class and graduate. You don't have to give a certain amount of money. You don't have to perform miracles, you know, prove yourself, anything like that. Instead, we humble ourselves. That's the key, to humble ourselves, and we can do that right now. So would you join with me? And it'd be great if everybody that's ready to have a relationship with Jesus, just say, Lord, I hand you my life right now. I surrender my heart to you right now. I want to give you my heart today, Jesus. I want to give you my life today, Jesus. I want to give you my soul today, Jesus. I trust in you. Even though my life looks so tough and so difficult, I'm going to trust that you're in charge and that you have the final say. I trust in you, Jesus. I trust the work that you did for me. Please forgive me of my sin. I'm leaning and looking to you for my salvation, Jesus. Yeah, it's so good to say. It's to be humble before him. Everybody else, maybe you've already had a relationship with him, but you're in that gap right now. You're in the middle of something hard, something difficult. I hope you heard the message of God today, that He is faithful and that He's going to finish what He started. And you may be lost and squandering in a gap right now and thinking, is this ever going to happen? It may not happen tomorrow or next month or next year. But I'm here to tell you that God is faithful. God never makes a mistake. You can trust Him. And that He is going to get the final say. And He is going to prove Himself to you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just express that to Him right now? Say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You in this life. And I'm trusting You in the next life. I'm trusting You in this life, and I'm trusting You in the next life. And I give You my heart. I give You my soul right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We sing hallelujah. Christmas. We love you guys and enjoy the rest of your day. Love you.